It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Praise God. Amen. God be with each one of you all today. It is the 25th of June, and may God bless you. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. We ask that your spirit would abide with us and teach us the things we need to know this morning. Please anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and as always, bless us to grow in grace and in wisdom. For this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about time. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. Lift up your head, your redemption is nigh. Let glad alleluia mount up to the sky. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, oh Christian. It's about time. Lift up your head, your redemption is nigh. Let glad alleluia mount up to the sky. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time.
Amen. The title of our message today is The Prophet Who Lied Twice. The Prophet Who Lied Twice. We're going to see what lessons we can learn from this message, brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your love and mercy. We ask that you will bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 20, "And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said unto him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife." Now I want to pause because the title of the message is The Prophet Who Lied Twice. You'll learn as we read on why I'm referring to him as a prophet. However, this is the second go-around with Abraham. And I want to bring that out because Abraham is so hailed as, in a positive way, as the man who believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. God chose Abraham because he was faithful. And I want you all to see that even as the trend of our lives is faithfulness, there can still be areas in our lives that need help, that need improvement, where we have to come up higher, where we are sinning against God. And so that's, you know, it was just good for us to take a break and dwell on this because the Christian walk is a process. And sometimes we can make a mistake and think that we're lost. We can, or we can look at others, and if we see some flaw in them, we just give up everything and think that all was lost and that it was everything they taught us was fake and false and all of that, and that's not necessarily the case. God is working on our hearts, and he is using men and women, but in that usefulness, God is still improving their walk with him and character with him. And what will happen, brothers and sisters, is there will come a point in time where if you don't make a full surrender, it is as though you should have never been born. So God works on people, and we shouldn't give up on people, but there does come a point in time where you can go too far and resist the Holy Spirit. God will humble you if you won't humble yourself, and he's still trying to save. He's so merciful. It's just amazing. And so if you want to know where that is, you would go back to Genesis chapter 12. Let me just read a few verses of Genesis 12 with you so you can see. We read this already, I believe, but it starts with verse 11, and it came to pass when he was come near unto Egypt that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art fair, a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Now you all have to understand, Sarai was a senior citizen at this time, okay, if I'm understanding correctly. But nonetheless, definitely she's older when it comes to Abimelech in chapter 20. Say, I pray that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And when you read on, God let Pharaoh know he was in trouble if he touched that woman because she was another man's wife, okay? So let's go now back to Genesis chapter 20. And so we're seeing here Abraham has this struggle. He has a beautiful wife. And his beautiful wife, sometimes we can put people in front of God. And if they're handsome or beautiful or talented, we don't trust God. We want to make sure nobody else notices that talent, beauty, or handsomeness. And so sometimes we step out of the proper channels of God's grace. And so, my brothers and sisters, this is just a wake-up call to say we must be totally surrendered, constantly growing, constantly allowing God to show us the defects in our character. Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, She is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, we're back in verse 2, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And she even herself said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said to him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I not thee to touch her. Now, I want to share something with you, brothers and sisters, that might seem like a digression from the subject, but it is not. Sometimes dreams come to us from God, and sometimes it's the actual decisions we make in our dream that God is using to help us grow. Have you ever been tempted to do something and you saw yourself doing something you ought not do, saw yourself with somebody you ought not be with, saw yourself eating something you ought not eat, touching something you ought not touch, and the temptation was so great? And then you might have had a dream where you yielded, and then, you know, you kind of woke up, but you kind of felt guilty because it was real to you. That is God telling you, you have a problem in that area, and God is protecting you from doing it for real because it was real to you in a dream, and you messed up in your dream. Go to God and ask forgiveness because he's revealing to you the defects of your heart. I can prove this from the Bible. I will in a second. And then the joyous time comes when you're in a dream and a temptation comes and you say, I'm walking away. Get thee behind me, Satan. And then you wake up and you feel a sense of joy. God is showing you he's with you and he has given you victory. But you have to stay vigilant. You just can't let down your guard. He's letting you know, hey, the devil will come at you this way, but you stay with me. Now, how can we prove this, brothers and sisters? Well, this story proves it, but you can also go to 1 Samuel. I believe it's 1 Samuel chapter 1. I believe that's what it is. But it's the story of Samuel. It's the story of Solomon. And you all know the story how Solomon, God came to Solomon and said, what do you want? And he said, I don't want riches. I don't want all this or that. I just want wisdom. And I'm not getting everything perfectly. Boy, I'm just looking out at the beautiful, big, huge black bird out there. Anyway, God said, because you didn't ask for the life of your enemy, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for fame, I'm going to give you riches and other things, and I'm going to bless you with wisdom. And nobody like you will ever be in your position of wisdom. Now, I want y'all to understand, a lot of people misunderstand that. I believe that what God was saying, not that we can't have the wisdom of Solomon, it's just that God was saying no king will ever have that kind of wisdom that God gave King Solomon. I don't believe that God is a respecter of persons and would give Solomon more wisdom than he's willing to give us. But he was just letting him know because he knows the end from the beginning that no king. Anyway, that whole inner exchange between God and Solomon was a dream. It was all a dream. Yet God actually rewarded him because of a decision Solomon made in his dream. So I just want to bring that out, brothers and sisters. Don't take dreams lightly. Sometimes, yes, it's because you ate too late. But oftentimes, brothers and sisters, God allows dreams. And we should listen to his voice and see, what are you trying to tell us? If we're just constantly dreaming about the wrong thing, we need to go to God, and he's telling us that the channel that our mind is in is not a channel that he can take to heaven. So he wants us to repent and to come to him and spend more time with him, because by beholding, we become changed. There is not an urge, a desire, a temptation that is stronger than the power of God. But we have to stay in his word, my brothers and sisters, and stay in an attitude of prayer. So I just wanted to bring that out to you, that this was decisions that this king and exchanges with God that he was making all in a dream. All right. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, still in a dream, for he is a prophet. So the Bible says Abraham was a prophet. Did you know that? A lot of people didn't know Abraham was a prophet. Yes, he was a prophet, my friend. And I'm going to digress a little bit also on this point. If you want to know how to identify a prophet, or at least what the basic components of a prophet are, you would go to Numbers chapter 12. And in Numbers chapter 12, it's the story of Aaron and Miriam when they murmured against Moses. And so it says in the Bible in Numbers chapter 12, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Egyptian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Egyptian woman. Now, of course, she was darker than they were, and of course, there was racial issues back in that day. However, brothers and sisters, they weren't European either. So the Sister White in the book Patriots and Prophets brings out that it really didn't have anything to do with his wife, but that they were jealous because all of this adoration and praise from the people were coming to Moses, and they were a little jealous because of all the attention. So they used his wife as an excuse. They really weren't prejudiced. And so sometimes when you come across people and they give you a problem about something, you need to have a spiritual insight. Often what they're having a problem with is not the real problem. And unless you have spiritual eyes to see, then you won't know. That's why when the man in John chapter 4 came to Jesus and he said, "Sir, I would like you to come down and heal my son, for he's at the point of death," Jesus responded in a weird kind of way based on our understanding. He said, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." That was kind of weird. I just asked you just a nice question, Jesus. Would you please come down and heal my son? And you answered me rather abruptly. If you don't see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Well, let me tell you why Jesus was not inappropriate. Because the man said the nice things with his mouth, but with his heart, he said, "If this guy, this joker doesn't kill my son, I'm not going to believe in him." So Jesus answered what the man said. It was just what he said in his mind. He ignored what the man said with his mouth, and he answered what he said in his heart. So, brothers and sisters, we speak with our mouth, we speak with our heart. As you are closer and closer to God, he will reveal to you what's even in your own heart. Because sometimes what's in your own heart is not what you say. And sometimes what other people say is not what's in their heart. And so we need spiritual guidance and discernment, brothers and sisters, and God will give it to us. Okay? So I just wanted to share that with you. So as we read on, it says, "The Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in mine house, in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" You see, God chose Moses because he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Meekness is not weakness. It is a level of humility that stands true and is at peace with God, even in the midst of controversy, okay? That's what I want to be, brothers and sisters. I want to be meek. I don't have to be popular. I want to be meek. When temptations come, when trials come, when opposition comes, I want to handle scoffers with meekness. I want to handle troublemakers with meekness. That's what makes a man great, brothers and sisters. See, a meek man has no problem saying, "I'm sorry." I'm here to tell you, most preachers, I don't care if they're preaching truth, they will hardly ever see their faults and be willing to say, "I'm sorry for what I did. It was wrong." And as a result of that, God can use them to a point. But if they don't get that right, it's before it's over, God's going to dethrone them, if I can use that term. And so it's very important for us to have this level of humility that Moses had. But God tells us what a prophet is. A prophet is one who gets dreams and visions. So Moses, the Bible does tell us, it's in the book of Deuteronomy, that he was a prophet. But God is saying Moses is separated from the prophet in that he gets his information. In other words, he's a prophet in the sense that he got prophetic things, that he spoke prophetic things. But in the truest sense, God says, "I'm not labeling him as a prophet because I give him mouth-to-mouth messages, but the prophets get it in dreams and visions." So now that you know that, that's why you'll have many, many verses in the Bible that will mention Moses and the prophet, the law and the prophet. Let me give you one real quickly. If you go to the book of Luke chapter 16, brothers and sisters, in Luke chapter 16, this is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And you know, the rich man, by the way, this is a parable. And in the parable, God was using this parable to teach that if you don't accept the Bible, You're not going to accept God even if you see a miracle. Okay, that's what he was trying to teach. But in the parable, the rich man who was evil and wouldn't give to the poor died, and he went to hell. And Lazarus, who was poor but righteous, he went to heaven. Now, we know that it was a parable because when we die, we don't go straight to heaven and we don't go straight to hell. How do I know? The Bible says so. It says the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward. That's in Ecclesiastes 9:5. Jesus said in, where is it? John 5:28-29, marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Revelation 20 tells us that those two resurrections are 1,000 years apart from one another. I know that goes against a lot of what some of you all have been taught about the, you know, millennium and the trend and the tribulation and all that, but I don't have time to go into all that right now. I'm here to tell you that there is no secret rapture. Jesus is coming in the same way he left, according to Acts 1, and he left on a cloud. The Bible says he declared he's coming with the sound of a trumpet. That's nothing secret about that, my friend. But keeping on the point and on the subject, the rich man didn't go straight to hell, and Lazarus didn't go straight to heaven. You all can kind of see a little bit of the view out of my window. We live here in the country by the grace of God and by God's grace alone. It's beautiful out there, but I don't want to look over the deck and be able to imagine I was in heaven. This is far from heaven, but imagine I was in heaven. I don't want to look out the window of my heavenly mansion and be able to see people rising in flames and it just burning to death and screaming in terror, you know, the terror shrieks. That's not heaven, brothers and sisters. That's why it's a parable. In the parable, they could from heaven look down to hell. I'm not going to heaven if I can look into hell. I don't want to go. I don't want to see people burning to death here on the earth. That's a horrible sight, brothers and sisters. That's a torturous thing. God is not a God who tortures. By the way, you don't even burn forever. That word everlasting fire is defined in Jude verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. It's only one chapter in Jude. And in that chapter, the Bible is very clear that Sodom and Gomorrah is the example of eternal fire. Okay, Sodom and Gomorrah is the example. It might be verse 7, by the way, but just check it. I see the verse 7 or verse 9. One of them talks about Michael the archangel. Sometimes I get them mixed up. I think the 7 is where it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, but just check it out. All right, so the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that's what eternal fire is. So I know we got a lot of subjects that we're dealing with, but that's the beautiful thing about the Bible. All these subjects intertwine. So brothers and sisters, if you're part of a church that's teaching that you go straight to heaven, you are being taught a damnable heresy. It really is, because the devil is going to use spiritualism in the last days to deceive. People are going to see their dead relatives rise up and their dead relatives, but it's not going to be their dead relatives. It's going to be Satan. For the Bible says in Corinthians that he can transform himself into an angel of light. And so we have things about to happen, brothers and sisters, that we have to just be so close to God. We are about to see what appears to be dead relatives and dead people arise up and say, Jesus changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. You don't believe that. But I'm telling you, it's because you're not studying. And a lot of our churches, even Sabbath-keeping churches, are not teaching people the truth. And we're not getting ready. We're just having fun. And we're just having church and we're just bouncing around and church has become a social club and we're not in the Word of God, my friend. So I'm here to tell you, let's go back to Abraham, because Abraham, God wants to use him, and Abraham is a prophet because he speaks prophetic things and he gets visions from God. Okay. Moses, I have to find the scripture, but it's in Deuteronomy. The Bible does say Moses was a prophet, but God says in the verses we just read that he wasn't, only because he was saying that he's more than a prophet. He gets his messages in a different way, okay? So they weren't afraid to speak against the servant Moses. And so, friends, I'm here to tell you, God has given me a dream or two. I don't know that I've had a vision, but I can tell you this. I'm not a prophet, okay? And anybody who claims to be a prophet or a prophetess, you better be careful and make sure that that is what it is, because I'm here to tell you, the Bible says that if you are a prophet and you say one thing under the authority of God that does not come to pass, you're a false prophet. That's how we know. Now, prophets make mistakes. Abraham lied twice. But we see the lie. We see the little, and we're going to learn why he said it, because she was his half-sister, okay? They have the same mother, I think, different fathers. And so the Bible is trying to help us understand, even in sly ways, we can't lie, brothers and sisters. We can't lie. If my wife just happens to, yeah, we all came from Adam and Eve, so I could say my wife is my sister, but she's my wife. And that's a totally different relationship. That's a relationship that's a covenant relationship. So he should not have kept from them that he was in covenant relationship with Sarah, okay, even though she was his half-sister. All right, we're going back to Genesis chapter 20 now. All this being in a dream, and Abraham, it said, we learned he was a prophet. So I showed you why we got the title for today. And so then Abimelech called Abraham, and let me go back to verse 8. No, 7. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou brought on me and on a kingdom this great sin, a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not be done. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this? In other words, what did I do to you, man, that you had to lie to me like that? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Friends, you don't know where the fear of God is. Now, you can see some things, and you can see some people doing some things, but that doesn't mean God is not working on their hearts in some way. And so we are not to look at the outward appearance. Sometimes you look at the outward appearance, and you wouldn't give that person a tract, or you wouldn't say anything positive to them about Jesus, and that's the very person that needs to hear it the most, okay? So we have to be careful, because God is greater than us, and he knows things we don't know. Okay, and yet indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. So again, we can compromise, and we can, you know, I can't think of a better word than compromise, and not tell all the truth. Now, there is not anything wrong with withholding appropriate information. The devil would want you to give certain information that would even hurt God's cause. Everything you know is not everything you should say. But at the same time, when it is a matter of truth and integrity and keeping somebody else from sinning against God, brothers and sisters, you need to speak and give the true relationship that you have. So often there's deception in relationships, you know. Two people say, yeah, we're just friends, and they're sleeping together. And that's a sin, brothers and sisters. If you're married, you're married. So you need to say, hey, you know, we're married, if the question comes to you, okay? All right, let's keep moving forward. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. She became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000. Notice he said, I've given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of thy eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservant, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So that is the prophet who lied twice. God was working with Abraham, and he was a man that God could use. It is Abraham that is used even in the New Testament as the example of righteousness by faith. But we see he had flaws, and God had to work on them, but he did. And that's why Abraham failed the test in Egypt. He failed the test in Abimelech. And so God actually tested him again. And we'll talk about that at another time. And it was the ultimate test when he had to kill his son. And we'll talk about that at another time. But brothers and sisters, we're having these classes every morning in preparation for baptism. We need a relationship with God. We need to understand how God works. We need to understand that we're growing in God's way. You know, when I was a little boy, my little family used to sing, and they had me. I had a little Michael Jackson voice, and I would sing this song. And I'm growing in Jesus, getting stronger each and every day in every way, because Jesus is growing in me. So, you know, it was a cute little song. You know how it is, cute little family. People enjoyed that. But the point being made is that we really are growing in Jesus. And we have to understand that. So we have to give people time to grow. And we have to understand we're growing. And the key is time is running out. God is revealing to us the areas in our walk that need to come up higher. Let's not resist. Let's be faithful to God so that we are able, brothers and sisters, to fulfill his perfect will in our lives. All right? God bless you. We're going to come back, and we'll be talking about how your immune system is tricked twice. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for the love you have for us. We thank you for working with us. We thank you through this story of showing through this story your mercy. And yet, the high standard we must reach, and not even in a any type of compromise, be unfaithful and untruthful. We ask that you would bless us in our walk. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, we have an intermission with the Torso Song. If you are interested, we have wellness retreats every month for the next several months. The next wellness retreat actually begins July the 9th. If you have cancer, arthritis, hypertension, diabetes, some other condition, it's 10 full days, 12 total days, 10 full days here, and I believe you will be much better when you leave. We had a wonderful experience in the month of June, and all I will say is that the individual had a very, very serious condition and saw clear signs that she had improved tremendously. So we want you to know about that. Just reach out to us if you have interest in that. Natural remedies and lifestyle change is the way to go, my brothers and sisters. May the Lord bless you. It's time now for our Torso Song. We'll be back in about 8 minutes after the Torso Song intermission.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune, butter, meat, eggs and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with you can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vows.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you nightly feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. We're talking about the immune system and how it gets tricked twice. Brothers and sisters, if there were two categories of diseases that are ravaging our society today, it's cancer of all types and autoimmune diseases. You know, when I was growing up, you almost didn't hardly hear about much about autoimmune diseases. And so it's a testimony of how much toxins are now in the world and the chemical laden things that are in society today that causes all of these things. So basically what happens with cancer, my brothers and sisters, cancer is not stronger than your immune system. What happens is cancer has the uncanny ability to hide from the immune system, to trick the immune system, so the immune system doesn't really know how to target it, okay? I'm speaking simply in simple terms, but that's actually what happens. If the immune system could know exactly where to put its force and know exactly the genetic makeup of the enemy, so to speak, it's much stronger. It can take the cancer out. And so cancer hides from the immune system. So what you have to do, you have to build up the immune system and you have to weaken the cancer so it kind of releases its disguise. And that's what natural remedies do. That's why we do hydrotherapy treatments like fever bath and treatments like bicarbonate soda wraps with lemon juice. With all that alkalinity, it helps weaken the cancer so the cancer gives up its disguise and it strengthens the immune system. So steam treatments. We do a lot of water. We do a lot of vegetable juicing with the Nama J2 juicer, brothers and sisters, so that we use the Nama J2 just for our own convenience because it's a lot of work here in a lifestyle center and a wellness retreat. But if you don't know about the Nama J2, oh, by the way, let me get this information to you. A friend of mine, very good friend of mine, of ours, I should say, and we tested this. It as of today, it's still going on. So if you want a Nama juicer and you want $55 off, go buy one and put favorite 10, the word favorite, all caps favorite, and the number 10, okay? Favorite 10, it takes $55 off. That's significant because the juicer is about $550. There's some tax added, so it's nice to save $55 on that. Favorite 10, okay? You will not be disappointed. It is the most revolutionary juicer that has ever been made, slow masticating juicer. It's like loading a blender, turning it on, walking away. It will put the juice one place and put the pulp the other place. And you can still, once that amount goes down, you can just drop it in. You never have to push anything down the chute like you do with regular juicers. And that's very significant because you usually have a lot of harder work with a slow masticating juicer. Your fast juicers that just kind of strip at the vegetable, they're easier to go down. But you lose a lot of the juice in the pulp. And I'm going to tell you how much juice you lose. You lose about a quart for every 3 quarts that you make. How do I know? I tested it. I had an Amish client, and she juiced 3 quarts of carrot juice, and I just told her to save her pulp. And I ran her pulp through a masticating-type pressing juicer, and I was able to bring her back another quart. So every 3 quarts that you use with a regular juicer, friends, a Jack LaLanne, a Breville, those type of remedies, which are awesome. Hey, if that's what you can afford, get it, brothers and sisters. I've used many of them, okay? That's all we had back in the day, okay? But I'm just telling you, you're losing money and you're not getting the highest quality juice because they spin so fast and they spin oxygen into it, and so oxidation takes place and the quality of the juice begins to degrade very quickly. So that being said, brothers and sisters, slow masticating. And the best one on the market is the NAMA, N-A-M-A, J2. If you can't afford a J2, get a J1. I'm assuming the favorite 10. J1 is good. You can't load it and then walk away. You just have to drop it in one by one, but that's still a lot more less work than pushing it down the chute, okay? So we do a lot of juicing here at Torso Ministry, and I believe you'll be blessed as you if you choose to come to our wellness retreat. If you can't come, we do wellness coaching. And if you just need some questions answered, we do that free of charge. Give us a call. We'll be happy to show you a path that you can take. We also have herbs that you can purchase in the form of tonic powders and herbal extracts. So it's a lot easier than swallowing capsules, okay? And it's less work than making teas. So that being said, brothers and sisters, the next category is autoimmune conditions. With autoimmune conditions, your immune system is tricked. There is a toxin. The immune system doesn't know what it is, so it just goes on the attack. And so if it's rheumatoid arthritis, it picks the joints, thinking that that's the toxin. And so it starts attacking the joints. If it's systemic lupus, it starts attacking different vital organs within the body, if that's the issue. But it's the immune system is really tricked. And so there is a toxin. Although modern medicine may not know what the toxin is, there is a toxin. All disease is caused by toxins, and the body is trying to relieve itself of the toxins and correct the conditions that cause the disease. And so what you have to do in both of these cases, whether it's cancer hiding from the immune system, thus tricking the immune system, or a toxin hiding from the immune system, causing the immune system to go crazy and just look for the toxin everywhere and therefore be kind of destructive to your own tissue. You've got to build the immune system in a positive way. Its intelligence has to be built and the toxin has to be exposed. And sometimes the same methods, fasting, juicing, getting your colon cleaned out, having hydrotherapy, brothers and sisters. These are the methods that we use even in the pandemic. We also have a machine that helps relieve inflammation instantaneously that from the body it starts reducing. What it is, it's a hydrogen generator. I should say God is the only one who heals, but the hydrogen actually relieves the inflammation. And that's why raw is good, but even a plant-based diet with plenty of raw fruits and vegetables. The raw fruits and vegetables are primarily alkaline, and when you have an alkaline diet, the pH is in a better location. It's better. It's higher. So what does pH stand for? It's the potency of hydrogen, hence potency of hydrogen. So when you have a higher pH, you're healthier. When pH is lower, going toward the acid levels, it's not so good. And so, brothers and sisters, God gives us many ways and different remedies that we can use to help people. So if you're needing help, contact us. We have things that help slow down an overactive immune system, but you still have to change your lifestyle and diet. We need to get off the flesh of dead animals. We should have been off that a long time ago. We need to get off the toxins that are in dairy products. That means don't eat dairy products. And even the plants that grow from the ground, friends, we need to do as much as we can, get organic food. They are killing us with all the chemicals and other things they are placing in our food, and these things are what are confusing our immune system. So, friends, there are many ways of pulling off the disguise that the immune system has over its eyes, okay, or that the disguise that the toxins have and the cancer have, allowing the immune system to see clearly. And we try to be used by God to show people how to get those things in the right balance. Okay? So that's what we want to talk about today. And it's time now for roll call. We have on Facebook, South Carolina, North Carolina. I'm pretty sure we got Missouri. Welcome, my dear. God bless you. From Missouri, my hometown, one of the mothers in Israel. Praise the Lord. We've got North Carolina. We've got the country of Kenya. And we have a dear sister. I'm not so sure where she's from. Michelle, not sure where she's from, but we welcome you. On the call, we have Ohio represented. We have Ohio represented again. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, Delaware, and Delaware again. We have New Jersey. We have Ohio again. We have Alaska, and we have Georgia. I want to mention to you, some of you, all of you don't, but some of you know or knew who Pastor Stephen Lewis was. He was a conference pastor at one time, and then he became started an organization called Present Truth. So there was a series of churches that were considered Present Truth churches, but they were kind of like in his organization. And then, of course, that didn't continue. He ended up becoming a conference pastor again. But anyway, he died yesterday. He passed away yesterday. For those of you who may know him, let's keep his family and those close to him in prayer at this time. That's not easy, as some of us know, when you lose a loved one. So we just want to mention that he did a lot of great work, a lot of great work. A lot of people were saved from sin, baptized, turned their lives around. He had an ability to reach young people, because he used to be in gangs and those kinds of things, so he could reach them where. And so many a man or woman who was out in the streets gave their heart to God and is actually in full-time ministry today as a result of how God used him. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, I'm not here to say the man was perfect. I'm just simply saying that he did a lot of good work, and we just have to pray that all was made right in each person, just like anybody. We have to make sure every day of our lives all is made right, and even if we might think somebody's going astray, we just have to pray and seek God and ask God to bless. So I am not here to sit in judgment on any man. I don't know people's hearts. I don't know what happened all in their lives, but I just know that we are to focus on the positive, and he did a great work as far as teaching truth. And so we just, he'll be missed by many, and we just have to pray for his family at this time, all right, and close friends. All right, church members as well. And I think some of you know him. I think, I don't know if any of our listeners went to his church, but because we have some Ohio listeners, but I know you all probably know of him. I think you all weren't too far from that vicinity. I think he was somewhere in the Dayton area. All right, I knew him personally. Stayed at my house for 2 or 3 weeks when a relative at that time of his was sick, and we were caring for that relative and at our wellness center in another at another ministry. So I did know him personally. All right, that being said, phone lines are open, brothers and sisters. If anyone has anything you'd like to share, please feel free. And we do have Sister Leilani on the call, and we'll take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Leilani. God bless you this morning.
Well, thank you. I arrived home here in Iowa on Friday morning, and okay. I got my box. And I just really kind of, I don't know where to start, but I'm so grateful for that. And I would like a call when you have time.
Oh, definitely. We'll give you a call today, and we'll get you started.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. God bless you, and welcome back to the lower 48. Oh, man. Well, we appreciate you, Sister Leilani. I will tell you, you are the second person, but it's not too many people that are 4 hours ahead of us that get up and come on our call. So we want to tell you we appreciate that, and we appreciate the sacrifice that you made in so doing. And, you know, you're still, I think at this point, you're still an hour ahead, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, an hour.
On Central Time.
It's 5 o'clock, and that's a good time to get up, so.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right, well, you'll get a call from us probably this morning sometime.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. God bless.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, is there anyone else? We've got about 7 minutes, maybe five or so, before the top of the hour. If there is anyone, we've got some good mornings from Kenya. We've got happy Sunday from Ohio, so from North Carolina, and that pretty much wraps it up. All right, we've got our dear sister from Ohio on the line. We'll go ahead and take Sister Don at this time. Good morning, sis.
Good morning. Good morning. I pray everyone had a blessed Sabbath yesterday. It was a really beautiful day here. And, well, it started out a little cloudy, but as the day progressed, the sun came out, and it was really a beautiful day. So I hope it was a blessed Sabbath for everyone. I did know Pastor Lewis. I did know him. And, yes, he will be missed. But I wanted to thank you for the segment that you did on the immune system and the worship as well. They were both extremely interesting. And I even learned some things today, so thank you very much for that. And I wanted to know if you would be available at some point to give me a call as well, you and Maria.
All right. We'll give you a call, sis. Absolutely.
All right, and thank you again for these segments today.
You're welcome. God bless you.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, my friends. Well, it's about 3 minutes to the top of the hour. There's no one else in the queue. May God bless each one of you. I'll turn it over to my wife to have our closing prayer at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit as it continues to teach, lead, guide, direct, and instruct our lives. We pray that every heart can continue to be blessed throughout this day as we ultimately do service unto you. And help us, Lord, to be able to be available and to be able to serve others as well. We thank you for all that you do for us, and we ask that each of us can be faithful and be able to receive a crown of life that's promised. And we look forward to that time when we can be with you. And may each of us do all we can to be in total obedience and have absolute surrender so that we can have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will.